ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 18, The Residents of Jambudvipa Offer Prayers, Text 31. Yat rupam etat nijamayaya arpitam artasvarupam bahurupa rupitam sankhya na yasya asti anyata upalambanat tasmai namaha te avyapadesh rupine yad rupaitan nijamaya arpitam. Artasvarupam bahurupa-rupitam saṅkhyāna yasyāsya yatopalambanāt tasmai namaste vyapadesha-rupine yadrupametan nijamāya yārpitam artasvarupam bahurupa-rupitam saṅkhyāna yasyāsya yatopalambanāt tasmai namaste vyapadesha-rupine yadrupametan nijamāya yārpitam atasvarupam bahurupa-rupitam saṅkhyāna yasyāsya tayopalambanāt tasmai namaste vyapadesha-rupine. Atasvarupam bahurupa-rupitam saṅkhyāna yasyāsya yatopalambanāt tasmai namaste vyapadesha-rupine. Ometam nijamāya yārpitam asvarupam bahurupa-rupitam saṅkhyāna yasyāsya yatopalambanāt tasmai namaste vyapadesha-rupine. Yadrupametan nijanayanarpitam artasvarupam bahurupa-rupitam saṅkhyāna yasyāsya yatopalambanāt namaste vyapadesha-rupine. Ladies, yadrupametan nijamāya arpitam atasvarupam bahurupa-rupitam saṅkhyāna yasyāsya yatopalambanāt his mind and has to Yapadesha Rupini. Yadrupametam Nijamaya Yapitam Artaswarupam Bhurupa Rupitam Sankhyana Yasyas Jayatopalambana Tasmai Namaste Vyapadesha Rupine. Yet, of whom? Rupam, the form. Etat, this. Nijamayaya Arpitam, manifested by your personal potency. Archaswarupam, this entire visible cosmic manifestation. Bahurupa Rupitam, manifested in various forms. Sankhya, the measurement. Na, not. Yasya, of which. Asti, there is. Anyata, falsely. Ayata, falsely. Upalambanat, from perceiving. Tasmai, unto him, the Supreme Lord. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Te, unto you. Avyapadesha, cannot be ascertained by mental speculation. Rupine, whose real form. Translation: my dear Lord, this visible cosmic manifestation is a demonstration of your own creative energy. Since the countless varieties of forms within this cosmic manifestation are simply a display of your external energy, this Virata Rupa, universal body, is not your real form. Except for a devotee in transcendental consciousness, no one can perceive your actual form. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Mayavadi philosophers think the universal form of the Lord to be real and His personal form illusory. We can understand their mistake by a simple example. A fire consists of three elements: heat and light, which are the energy of the fire, and the fire itself. Anyone can understand that the original fire is the reality, and that the heat and light are simply the fire's energy. Heat and light are the formless energies of fire, and in that sense they are unreal. Only the fire has form, and therefore it is the real form of the heat and light. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 9:4, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktam murtina. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. Thus, the impersonal conception of the Lord is like the expansion of heat and light from a fire. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also says, Matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvavastitaha. The entire material creation is resting on Krishna's energy, either material, spiritual, or marginal, but because his form is absent from the expansion of his energy, he is not personally present. This inconceivable expansion of the Lord's, of the Supreme Lord's energy is called achintya shakti. Therefore, no one can understand the real form of the Lord without becoming his devotee. So the main point here is the form of the Lord, or the form of the varieties of material elements which are his energies. Sarvam kalvidam Brahma. In one sense, everything is Brahma because it's all coming from him. He's the Supreme Brahman. And everything, you could say, is an emanation of his potencies. Parashya shaktir vividhaiva shriyate subhavaki gyanabala kriyacha. He's the person, he's the source, personally, and he has his form. Ishvara sarvabhut, Ishvara paramakrishna satchidananda vigraha anadir adir govinda sarvakarna karna. In other words, that person who has his form as Shyamasundar, threefold bending form of the Lord, playing flute, that dvibhuja, that Swayamrupa, the original form, that is Krishna. That's the statement of Brahma. And that's also the statement of Krishna and other places in the scriptures. Everywhere explains that he is the source. However, that's the Bhagavan feature. That's the highest realization. To understand that form, there's only one way. What is that one way? Bhakti. Bhakti amam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvata. Only by bhakti can that form be understood. Not just to understand the form, but to understand the form and the person, because there's no difference between the form and the person. To understand Krishna is available only by pure devotional service. Then there are other features, just like the Paramatma feature. The Paramatma feature is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion, many times removed, of Krishna. Ultimately, it becomes the expansion of Shirodaka Shai Vishnu. And that expansion enters into every atom. Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. Paramanu means the atom. So that form of the Lord, it's a Vishnu form. Vishnu form means four hands. Like in Vaikuntha, Vaikunthapati, Narayan has four hands. Otherwise, he looks very similar to Krishna. He's very beautiful and the characteristics are practically the same. But Krishna is, his beauty is even more exquisite. And he has two hands. But the Lord, when he appears in the Paramatma, Super Soul, he also has four hands, but he adjusts his size according to the size of the atom. He's also in the heart of every living entity. Sarvasya chaham buditi sannivishto mataksmati again. He's situated in everyone's heart as Super Soul. And he's guiding the wanderings of all living entities. And that particular form of the Lord can be understood by bhakti when applied through the Ashtanga Yoga system. That's also a form of bhakti, because the ultimate goal is to meditate in samadhi on the Super Soul incarnation within the heart. That's also bhakti, shantarasa. That may also come to dasiras service, because in Vaikuntha they're also serving primarily the rasas. There are service as a servant to a master, or servants to a king, citizens to a king, they serve the king. And then there's another feature of the Lord called the Brahman feature, which is an expansion of his, as described here, avyakta murti, means his non-manifest form. That sounds like a contradiction. How can something be unmanifest and at the same time have form? And Prabhupada gave a nice example. The heat and light of the fire. There are certainly energies of the fire, but they're in a form, they're in a unmanifest form. They exist, but the real form is the fire itself. So similarly, Krishna is the real form of God. The universal form is made up of a conglomeration of his material energy in one universe, one big egg, Brahmanda. Or you could take a bigger lump, and that would be the Mahatattva, the big, gross lump. Or, as they say, there was a chunk. And Prabhupada said, all right, you say there's a chunk, so we'll take that to mean the Mahatattva. But still, the question then comes, you say the Mahatattva is then exploded, but where did the Mahatattva come from? Where did that chunk come from? It didn't just appear out of nowhere. Or that wasn't the origin. The source of everything was a big chunk that was always there. That's a popular theory to say that, because they don't know anything else, so they just say, well, it was always there. And how can you disprove it? With experimental knowledge, you can't disprove that the chunk was there eternally. Or some philosophers say that it doesn't. Actually, this is all illusion. It doesn't really exist. Brahma satyam jagan mitya. The Mayavadis ascribe to some spiritual energy, some spiritual energy that is imperceptible. And whatever we see in the material world, they say, is false, is illusion. It doesn't really exist. We agree, in a sense, the Vaishnavas agree, that it's not reality, it's illusion to think that these are the actual forms of these things. Or at least we could say it's illusion to think that they have any permanent substance. We can't say that they don't exist. We say they exist, but they're temporary. Just like, for example, on a cloudy day, you look up and there's a big cloud, and for a few seconds it reminds you of something. It may look like an old man with a beard. But then a few seconds later, the form has changed for your eyes, and the man is gone also. So it was never really a man, just in your mental conception. Therefore, the material energy is also the Vishvarupa is also a type of mental conception, because actually it's not the real form of the Lord. But because any connection with the Lord is favorable for certain persons, therefore it's recommended that the beginning stage for those who are grossly materialistic or atheistic is to conceive of the Lord in His universal form. However, as we saw in the case of Arjuna, the devotees don't have much appreciation for that form. It's frightening for them, because part of the material energy is comprised of the time feature, and the time feature is very destructive. Kalos me. I am time. Lokakshaya krit. And I destroy everything, all the planets. Everything is destroyed. Therefore, the devotees are not very eager to see the universal form. Arjuna saw it for the benefit of the neophytes, but he was more interested in the beautiful form of the Lord. That means the four-handed form, Narayana, and the Lord obliged him to show his four-handed feature, and then he showed him his two-handed form, which is so very beautiful. To understand all these features of the Lord, both His personal feature and His impersonal and the supersoul feature, this is included in the Bhagavan realization. Those who only understand the first two features, that is Paramatma realization. And those who only understand the impersonal aspect, that is Brahman realization. And the destinations are also different. Those who understand or realize the Brahman feature, they can enter into that Brahman effulgence as a part of the Brahman effulgence. They like to think they're merging. Actually, they're not merging. They're remaining an individual living entity, but they like to think they're merging. You know, to be in a big group, people like that sometimes. You know, when there's a big contest and or a big match, so 100,000 people will go to see this, and they go as a group, and they all sit there as a group, and they lend their voices together, and they get some kind of a pleasure out of losing their identity for a little while. They forget all their individual troubles, isn't it? They go to the football match and they're screaming, "Go team, go!" And they're forgetting about that they have to pay the rent next week. It's a way of getting free from the individuality problems. They're forgetting about their boss always demeaning them and different things. Part of this merging into a bigger... So similarly, the impersonalists, they're frustrated. They're trying to be individuals and they find that there's lots of problems. When you're an individual, then the government comes after you and says, pay these taxes. And if you get a ticket, you can't say, I'm just part of America. You say, no, you're not just part. You're an individual. You're a person, and you have to pay this ticket. You, not anyone else. And ultimately, death comes to the individual. So it's frustrating. Therefore, they, you know, with their fertile brains, they come up with this idea that I will give up my individuality. This is all illusion. It doesn't really exist. And I'll merge. Or, as the Buddhists say, I will attain nirvana, a annihilation of the self. This is also their idea of paradise. Just imagine what a poor, it's not very great to look forward to being non-existent. In fact, it's a type of insanity. If someone goes to the psychiatrist or the psychologist and says, I'm simply desiring to not exist, and they say, this person is very suicidal, psychotic, he's got serious mental problems. And merging or Buddhism is spiritual suicide. Impersonal Mayavada philosophy is called spiritual suicide, because he wants to give up his identity, his individuality, his existence. But he cannot do that. Therefore, that's going to be another frustration. He's going to be frustrated again, for sure, because he cannot annihilate himself. Even if he kills the body, he cannot annihilate himself. They're just ignorant. They think, if I kill my body, I won't have to suffer anymore, or there won't be any more problems. But he doesn't know that after killing his body, first of all, he's not killing the body, but he makes it unfit to reside in. Then he gets his next. After that, because the soul lives on, you cannot cut the soul into any pieces. The soul goes on living, but in the next life he gets only a subtle body, because he didn't take good care of his gross body. He killed it last time, so now he doesn't get a gross body. He destroyed it. So now we take away, or we means the demigods, under the direction of the Lord, they take away his gross physical body, and he just gets a subtle body which he cannot cut into pieces. He cannot burn it or give it poison. Similarly, the impersonalists, their spiritual so-called suicide, it doesn't work. They have to go on living. Yenye ravandaksha vimuktamani nastvayashta bhavada vishuddha buddhaya aruya kuchtrena paramparam tata patantyato nadrita yushmat angaya. But eventually they have to come back again and take another material body, because their intelligence is impure. They haven't taken shelter of Krishna yet. Therefore, their position is not secure. So those are a few points discussed in this verse. If there's any questions, we can discuss.
Stay like this, then Paramatma is in every atom, but at the same time in Brahma Samhita is explained how Krishna is existing in every atom in his fullness. How I can understand these two statements?
That he's in every atom in his fullness.
No. In the form of Paramatma is explained, but also then in Brahma Samhita's statement, then he is in his fullness. That means Krishna, Syamasundara, he is in Atama.
But Syamasundara and Paramatma are not different.
But
therefore,
why is
Krishna, he says, I'm situated in the hearts of all living beings. So that I is Paramatma. That's also an expansion of Krishna. There's no difference. We may make some distinction, but actually it's the same person. Still Vishnu Tattva, the same person. Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana purusham navajovanam cha. That Krishna is, it's stated that Advaita, there's no duality, it's all one. Advaitam achyutam, inconceivably. Therefore, achintya beta beta tattva. It won't be conceivable by the mind. You'll have to get realization. You have to get realization from the process of bhakti. As we become advanced, then we'll be able to realize Krishna will reveal himself. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. But at least philosophically we can understand that there's no difference between Krishna and Paramatma. Otherwise Krishna wouldn't say, I am in every atom, or I am in every in the heart of every being. He would have said, someone else is there, not me. But he says, sarvasya cha aham, I am situated there. Thank you. Nice question. Dhritakarma Prabhu.
So in this verse it says that the real form can only be understood by, you know, devotees. What about the cosmic form? Can just anybody understand that?
Therefore, no one can understand. Yeah, because the impersonalists, they get some understanding of this cosmic form. They, Prabhupada saying that they accept the cosmic form as real and the real form as false. So the aspect of their realization is that they understand there's something. That's to their credit. They get partial realization. There is something. The scientists, they don't accept there's even something beyond. They don't see that there's anything spiritual. The impersonalists say, as what does the Prabhupada calls them, the does he call them Mayavadis here? The impersonal conception. Yeah. So at least they understand that this is a manifestation of spirit, that matter is, matter comes from spirit, but they think the origin is the Brahma Jyoti. Therefore, that is their lack of knowledge. And they can't appreciate the form, because they think the form, avajananti mam udha manushim tunamashutam, they think it's made of matter. And therefore, they think when Krishna comes, he's just an ordinary person. Therefore, they're offenders. I don't know if I answered your question. Give it back to him. He has a clarification here.
I was questioning more along these lines. You know, the verses, you know, we're getting into talking about the material universe, the materially perceivable universe, and then Krishna's real form. And it says only devotees can understand Krishna's real form. But what about the material form of the universe? Who can understand that? That was my question. Is my question clear?
Well, I tried to answer that the, yes, I was saying that the impersonalists can get some realization, whereas the karmis, they cannot, because they don't understand
how it's, they don't understand that there is a higher energy even that is not material, that is organizing it, that matter is being organized by a higher energy. Therefore, their understanding of matter is very superficial. It's a big chunk, and then, you know, it gets organized. So the impersonalists, they're better. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that out of 10 million koti means 10 million, karmis, eka gyani shastra, eka gyani shrestha. One gyani is the better than all of them. Because he's a gyani, he knows there's something beyond this matter. So I would say that they get some realization of this. Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Thank you for a nice Maharaj. I think the point can also be made that, because Prabhupada mentioned Sankhya, so there's a class of philosophers that don't believe in a spiritual reality, but they're following the atheistic Sankhya teachings.
Of course, this Sankhya is a different one.
Yeah, in other words, they analyze the 24 elements, but they don't see the 25th, which is the soul above all of that.
But this Sankhya is referring to counting. The word here in this used here in the Sankhya, which means measurement. So it's different than that.
Yeah. But my point is still that you can, even if you don't see a spiritual reality like the real impersonalists do, they say that there's a spiritual reality, there's just no form that exists there. It's all formless. But there are a class of philosophers still, or scientists you could call them, who can get some understanding of, because that was his question, can you get an understanding of the material reality without being a devotee, basically is what I got from his question. Because only the devotees can see Krishna's real form, but can the non-devotees understand this material manifestation?
And I say no.
But they can count the elements.
Uh-huh.
They can count the elements, and they can analyze the elements, which is what they're engaged in all the time. And that's why they can come up with all these fabulous creations, iPods, TVs, and people believe, that, wow, if you can give me an iPad and an iPod, then you must really know what's going on. Because, you know, the ordinary person can't even think of designing an iPod or something like that. So somebody who can analyze the elements of matter and give them an iPod is like a god to them. But that person may be godless himself. He's not thinking that there is any spiritual reality beyond matter, but he's just expert at analyzing and rearranging the material elements, so he comes up with all these fantastic creations, and people bow down to him because of that.
Well, yeah, but if we... Okay, I accept that on that basis, but does he really understand matter? He thinks he can conquer matter. It means he's an illusion. He's being conquered himself by matter. He himself is a product of the illusory energy, and he's thinking in his illusion that I will be able to conquer material energy. So he, strictly speaking, he has not understood the material energy. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena konteya jagat viparivarti. They're working under the material energy, and Maya, they don't even know that Maya is a person. They've missed the whole personal aspect of everything. They don't understand that there's anyone in control of it. They say there's no... You know, it's like a person who comes into a big factory, an automobile factory that's putting out automobiles, and he looks around and he says, this is amazing. It's just amazing how this is going on all by itself, automatically. Well, everyone in the place would say he's a fool. He doesn't understand the first thing about the factory. He's thinking it's all happening by chance. So what kind of understanding is that?
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, in one statement, he says the spiritual phenomena cannot be understood by, is not under the jurisdiction of the material intellect. And he uses the phrases of drisha, vichar, the analysis of the seen and the seer. He says that the materialistic people They see the whole creation, this manifestation, as a sense gratification. Therefore, he cannot see. They're not allowed. They can. While the devotee, he's the seer. He sees this whole creation as a part of the Lord, and sees himself as the object of being seen by the Lord. So everything that is created is for the Lord's enjoyment, so they can see both things. But the materialists, they cannot. So empirics, they also try to measure the Lord. They try to measure. And the Lord is a dakshaya, beyond the perception of sense perception, so they cannot estimate.
Thank you. I think we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.